Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayeshev. This week, Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz discusses Vayeshev. Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Elisha Anshelvitz.
Thank you, Larry. In this week's Parsha, we read several stories of evil. Yosef dreams to rule his brothers. Yehuda and the brothers sell Yosef into the slave trade. Yehuda almost kills Tamar for sleeping outside the family, after he refused to grant her any more of his sons, and had unknowingly slept with her as a prostitute. Potiphar's wife lies to destroy Yosef. Potiphar discards Yosef into a cell. The wine steward forgets Yosef. The story that we will discuss, however, is a story of a refusal to do evil. It is a story of Yosef's refusal to sleep with Potiphar's wife. This story illustrates the nature of moral thinking or moral obligation, and thus helps us understand the nature of halachic thought and obligation. The story reads as follows. Vayehi, achar dvarim ha'ele, vatisa eshet anunav et enea el Yosef, vatomer shichva imi. Vayemen, vayemel eshet anunav, hein aduni lo yedaiti ma babayit, v'chol asher yesh lo natan biyadi, enenu gadol babayit hazeh mimeni, v'lo chasach mimeni meuma, ki imotach v'asher at ishto. V'ech eseh hara'a hagdola hazot v'chatati Elohim. JPS translation. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me," but he refused. He said to his master's wife, "Look, with me here. My master gives no thought to anything in this house, and all that he owns he has placed in my hands. He wields no more authority in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except yourself, since you are his wife. How then could I do this most wicked thing and sin before God or gods?" The point that strikes me about this story is the reason that Yosef refuses to sleep with Potiphar's wife. He recognizes his ethical obligation to his kind and respectful master. He recognizes it would be a sin to the gods or to God to betray that relationship. In other words, Yosef manages, in the midst of his relationship with the immediate other, Potiphar's wife, to remember the third other, Potiphar, to whom he has an obligation. In fact, the third other, to whom his immediate other, meaning the third other Potiphar, to whom his immediate other, the wife of Potiphar, also has an obligation. In other words, Joseph recognizes that the immediate ethic obligation between two people is not the only factor in life. Our ethic obligation is not only to respond to the other that is opposite us, but rather to realize that others are also our reim. In the words of Emmanuel Levinas, in two essays where he speaks about Judaism, the third is other than the neighbor, but also another neighbor. The third is not this neighbor, but the third is still a neighbor, a reya of mine. And also a neighbor of the other, and not simply their fellow. Meaning, as I think about my relationship, my obligation to the immediate other, I have to take into account the obligation of the immediate other to the third other, and of course my obligation to the third other. Or as he puts it simpler in a different essay, that was totality infinity, this is in Difficult Freedoms. Love itself demands justice, and my relation with my neighbor cannot remain outside the lines which this neighbor maintains with various third parties. The third party is also my neighbor. This realization that ethics requires us to think about the effect of our actions upon parties beyond the immediate other with whom we may choose or respond to act ethically because they're immediately in front of us is critical to halacha. We are often obligated as individuals, as couples, as families, and as groups to keep thinking beyond the immediate ethics of our relationship with one specific person or even group to the effect of our action on others. This realization explains a slew of halachot. For our limited purposes, I will discuss two. One is a topic that the Pardes Kol is studying this year, and that is Hilchot Nida. And for all that we are seeing in the Kol, these halachot are wise norms for addressing a long-term heterosexual relationship, i.e. marriage, not every last couple needs these norms in these specific variations. But one of the realizations that we came to as a Kol was that we are obligated in these norms because of the benefit and protection from hurts that they provide for most people who live them at most times. Obviously, if the cost of the pains of keeping these norms are too high, then we modify them. That's called psak. But in general, these norms exist because they serve to help others. And even if I and the immediate other with whom I share a relationship do not need this specific norm, X or Y, which helps others, we are obligated in it so that the norm exists for the sake of the third, fourth, fifth, and so forth parties. This point has actually been made explicitly in halachic literature and in Jewish thought. An explicit version of this was made by Rav Yaakov ben Asher, 13th, 14th century, author of the Tur, Code of Jewish Law. He writes this as regards the Isur, the injunction against not only collecting, but even paying interest. The Torah forbids collecting interest. Well, the rabbis write in the Mishnah, they teach in the Mishnah, that this injunction applies not only to the lender, but also to the borrower. Mishnah Bava Mitzia, 5:11, Perikei Mishnah Yud Aleph. Ve'elu ofin belo ta'aseh, shall we beat. Hamalve, halove, ha'arev, va'aidin. V'chachamim omrim af ha'sofer. The following violate the injunction against interest. The lender, well, that's obvious. The borrower, the guarantor for the borrower. Even the witnesses, the sages say, even the scribe who draws up the contract. In other words, everybody is obligated to ensure that the injunction against interest is maintained. Now, that's already an easy source to discuss halachic thinking as our obligation to third parties. But the Torah takes it further. The Torah points out, why is the borrower obligated to avoid paying interest? Why is the borrower who pays interest, takes a loan out on interest, considered a sinner? And the Torah writes in Yoredeah, Siman Kuf Sabach, chapter 160, V'afilu halove v'anotno over. Mashen ke mishar dinei mamonot. Shemidah motze lizok v'nechasav v'ashai. He says the borrower, the payer of interest, sins in spite of the general rule that one may destroy one's own assets. I can do whatever I want with my money, generally. And yet, as a borrower, I am forbidden to pay interest. Why? Because the sin is so common, the borrower too is warned, is forbidden to pay interest. This is a basic point to halachic thinking, that even when I harm nobody immediately, not even a second party, not even myself, I'm in a situation where I can pay interest and I gain a loan easily by paying interest. Even in such a situation, I have to think about how I affect others. The ethical demand on all of us is obviously, first of all, to rise to our infinite obligation to the immediate other, even as we are obligated to ourselves. And that's hard enough. However, the further obligation in spite of the difficulty of the first obligation, is to rise to our ethical obligations to third parties who are affected by how we relate to the immediate other. If we do that, then we become Yosef. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Anshulvitz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.